I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Browns 135-30 at home. Bengals covered the spread. Joe Burrow backdoors at the end. So Browns -3.5 total right now, 50.5 over at the Bet River Sportsbook. So today, Wednesday, hey. Injury report. The Bengals defensive line is decimated. So Geno Atkins has been complaining about his kind of playing time. DNP, not injury related. Wonder what that's about. He's been publicly griping. The rest of this defensive line's really hurt. I kind of am of the opinion that even without Wyatt Teller, who's did not practice again today, and I'm just looking at the injury report now, Teller DNP. Yep, so Teller did not practice today. Baker limited. We're going to start doing like an injury segment here on the show, but we're not going to start it today. Kareem Hunt limited with ribs. He'll probably play on Sunday. I kind of think the Browns are going to be able to score a lot of points in this game. So I'm just going to say, I like the Browns a little bit here. But here's kind of where I think things get a little screwy for me in terms of liking the Browns. The secondary is bad for Cleveland. We know that they can stop the run well. And Mixon didn't practice today, so this, I think, hurts the case for Cincinnati also. So I like the Browns. But what concerns me, with the emergence of A.J. Green, who's no longer a corpse, and like we like T. Higgins, right? And we like Tyler Boyd, and we like Joe Burrow. Can the Browns defense stop the Bengals enough to get the Browns home here as a 3.5-point favorite? And I actually like the over a little bit at 50.5 if we determine that we don't like the Browns defense in this particular matchup. So what about that matchup, Ken? Browns defense versus Bengals offense, and what is your opinion on this game as we do this on Wednesday afternoon or evening?
I like Cincinnati a little in the game. And at 3.5, my number's 3.5. So this is not like a number play necessarily. If you go back to that week 2 game, you know, I think, which a lot of people will, we remember it. It was very recent. It was a month ago. You know, Browns outgained Cleveland significantly on the ground, plus 3.5 yards per play in that game, which is staggering. A couple other things to remember, though, about that game. I mean, that was a healthy offense for Cleveland, almost entirely a healthy offense. Beckham looked really good in the game, caught a touchdown, I believe, early on. And the thing with Cincinnati was short week, Joe Burrow, you know, like what effect did that have on the performance? So like, I don't really even look at that game as like predictive of literally anything we're going to see in this game. I think it was like, it's just different. It was just a completely different set of circumstances. So I'm less inclined to like love Cleveland for that game reason. Now, I know that's not why you like them necessarily, but I want to get that out there because I think everybody's going to be like, oh, well, the first game.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of evidence.
My rationale is not the Bengals converted a million fourth downs. So like this box score of like shows you the Browns killed them. Ergo, I like the Browns here. I just think kind of like the matchups here, like I don't think, even if Baker's not 100% healthy, and like we'll see what happens over the next couple days. He did practice Wednesday today in a limited fashion. Like, I just think they can kind of line up with Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson, even in Dontrell Hilliard, and just kind of run the ball down their throats. Like, I don't think Cincinnati's going to be able to stop them with like the state that defensive line's in, even if Wyatt Teller doesn't play in the game. So that's my concern is the other side of this game. And also, I'll give you this. You know, you've talked about, Kem, And in my notes here for the, I don't know, I've got like three notebooks here. But in my notes that I had here, like, isn't this kind of like a Stefanski game where like his teams go up against elite teams and they get trounced? Then they play teams that aren't elite and they trounce that team. And I think the Bengals are decidedly in the non-elite camp.
I agree with you on that handicap. I can't push back. I got the only way I could defuse that argument or push against it is like, well, the Bengals are actually really good, which I think we all know kind of just isn't fundamentally true. So I can't push against it that way if it is a real thing. Here's just a couple other things to think about in this game. So I mentioned my number's 3.5, you know, basically the same as the market. I think I'm like 3.7 or something. Who'd the Browns play last week?
Steelers. Oh, okay. So I see where you're going here with that angle. Okay.
I put a lot of time into this of like really trying to hammer down like this angle of, you know, when we get to the middle of the season and you play a very physical top performing defense historically, is there a residue of that affects your next performance? So far this year, again, like we had a limited number of games in terms of teams that have played the Steelers, because again, they had a game moved, like the schedule's been kind of wonky. So we don't have like as many data points up to this point as we normally would. Steelers opponents haven't covered at all in the next first half. They're 2-2 the next game for the season. One of that is week 1 to week 2, where I would make the argument like this is something that gains traction as the season goes along. Like you're less likely to rebound from getting beaten up physically, you know, week 9 than you are week 1. Literally week 1, you're probably able to rebound as well as you are the entire season. So this is something, it's like, this is not a locked in thing, but this is worth following. And this was true. I mean, last year, basically, I kind of ran a test and I was like, all right, at each point in the season, every week in October, every week in November, who were the top 5 defenses in the league measured a couple different ways. You can measure by yards per play. You can measure by points allowed. There's a bunch of different ways to measure like top performing defenses, looking for physical teams, right? When you played those teams, whoever they were every week in the rankings, how did you do the next week? And the teams change, obviously. Some defenses start playing really well. I mean, it was like a significant difference kind of like as the season went on. You know, it was basically like, you know, 2/3 of the time, like 65-70% of the time, there was like those teams did not cover after they played a very physical, like top performing defense. So this is something I'm kind of like a case that I'm starting to build a little bit, where it's like, are the Steelers that team this year? Maybe there are a couple other ones that we can try to figure out who they are. Very physical, and there is that residue, especially as we get into the middle of the season, where I think this is going to start becoming a thing. I think when you play the Steelers, like it matters that you play them, and then if you play the next week, you do play worse. I think that there's a reasonable chance that is a thing. So I would say, you know, if I was giving you like a word of caution about playing the Browns in the game, I mean, the Browns went into that game beat up physically anyway. It wasn't like the Steelers did all the damage. Like they were damaged anyway. Cleveland was, and then they just got damaged even more, basically by getting kind of batted around and sacked and Mayfield pressured all the time and hit after every drop back. So, you know, I think that would be my number one kind of red flag here is like, you're getting a team at a number that I think is like the right number, but you're also getting them off of playing, I think, what's going to be kind of like the team you never want to, you know, sort of bet, you know, you don't want to bet on their opponents after they play, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. So kind of threw cold water on me a little bit here. Not in a bad way, but like, give me something to think about here, because I do kind of like the Browns a little bit in this game. But of course, our big pick segment coming up on Friday when we will finalize all of these picks. Ken, my next question for you. We talked about this a little earlier on Wednesday's show, today's show with Evan Silva. I look at this Cowboys Washington game on Sunday, and like with the disarray that this Cowboys offensive line is in, and we've detailed the right, Zach Martin's in the concussion protocol. The backup left tackle is now out. So it'll be the backup. It might be Cam Irving. Like I was texting with someone in the league today, and they're like, Cam Irving, are you fucking kidding me? I think was the text that I got as far as it concerns the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. Like, okay, Dallas is more talented, I think, all things considered, right, than the Washington football team. But like, can Dallas protect Andy Dalton? That is my question for you, Ken Barkley. The Dallas offensive line versus the Washington front. And if we determine that is not the case and that Dallas cannot protect, then do we have to bet the Washington football team either as a 1-point favorite? Maybe it goes back to a pick. Maybe Dallas closes as a 1-point favorite. But do we have to bet the Washington football team if we come to the conclusion that Dallas absolutely cannot protect Andy Dalton?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've gone back and forth on this game like so many times. I know my number on this game. So here's like the wacky thing about making a number. Like Dallas closed a favorite against Arizona, and we talked about this already, but I want to repeat it here, where it's like, I don't know if that number actually told you anything smart, because we hadn't seen Andy Dalton play a game yet. So like, it was our best guess, but I think it was a shitty guess.
I want to push back on that a little bit. I said this yesterday. I don't think it had much to do with Dalton, man. Like, I don't think Dalton's any great shakes, but like, I don't think that's like, well, this is what the Andy Dalton-led Cowboys are going to look like. Because you put a decent offensive line in front of Dalton, he could do something with these weapons here. Like, they can't protect him. They made that Cardinals pass for us, which is toothless without Chandler Jones, you would think, look like the fucking 2000 Ravens. I don't know if I put that on Dalton. I don't know if that's fair.
Well, I'm not saying 100% of the blame goes to him. I'm saying that like the Andy Dalton as quarterback of the terrible Dallas Cowboys, that team closed a favorite. So whether it's the offensive line, whether it's whatever, like it doesn't have to be Andy Dalton specifically. That team, the same team, actually minus a lineman, two linemen, that's going to be playing in Washington, closed a 1-point favorite against Arizona. And when I say it's a shitty guess, it's not that it was wrong. It's that it was like, we really had no idea what it was going to be. Like, it was our best guess, but it could never be a good guess. It's like Cincy SMU, if you listen to the college football segment.
Well, it could be a good guess if we were right. If we were right, then it would have been a good guess.
Well, we would have patted ourselves on the back, and I would have more money than I do right now. So in that way, it would have been a good guess.
I'm being facetious, yes. I'm being facetious.
But again, trying to use the closing line to be like, okay, here's where Dallas is on the spectrum. Therefore, they're this far apart from Washington. Like, if I use that close and the other closing numbers for Dallas and specifically all the closing numbers for Washington, which are valuable, like, my number on this game is Dallas by more than a field goal. So, like, but at the same time, like, that last data point for Dallas is like a joke. Like, it's like not usable. So it makes it really tough to figure out what the number is supposed to be. Like, Evan Silva comes on, he's like, is it an overreaction? And my answer, normally I'd feel more confident about saying yes, except that like, I don't know. Like, I don't think a lot of other people do know either. So like, you know, again, your question is like, can Dallas block Washington? I don't think Dallas can block anybody. If Dallas can't block Arizona, they definitely can't block Washington. So like, that's the answer to that question. Do we have to bet Washington because of that? I mean, they're a bottom five team in the NFL and they're going to be favored. Like, do you have to bet a team in that situation? Again, like I go back and forth here on like a lot of stuff. Like if you want a reason to bet Dallas, right? You have this angle that I bring up all the time.
Is Dallas a bottom five team? Is Dallas a bottom five team? Is this iteration of the Cowboys a bottom five team in the NFL? I think it's a fair question to ask.
They're probably not, they're close. I would say they're close. So like I asked you this yesterday, but I used it on the road. I said, would they be favored over teams? On a neutral, would they be favored over the Jets? 100%. On a neutral, would they be favored over the Giants? 100%. With Dak, they were favored over them by 9.5 at home or whatever it was, whatever closed at in, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? So even the quarterback change, neutral field, I still think they're at least a small favorite over the Giants. You know, on a neutral, this number still tells us that they're probably a small favorite over Washington. The next two teams, at least in my ratings, are Jacksonville and then Denver. Like, is Dallas a favorite on a neutral against Drew Lock Denver?
No.
I don't think so. I think they're like a pick or a tiny dog maybe in the game.
Denver just, and look, it doesn't mean that Denver's world beaters, but like they did just go into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. Like that did happen. It doesn't mean that they're great, but I mean, that did happen.
Yeah, and I mean, Jacksonville, I think kind of same question. Like, I think in the market, Dallas would absolutely be a favorite game against Jacksonville because a lot of people would want to bet on Dallas in that game.
Is Dallas better than Jacksonville? I would bet Jacksonville. Because, like, right. Assuming that, like, Henderson played and Miles Jack played and Josh Allen played, Jacksonville would score 30 points in that game. Like, Dallas can't stop anybody. Like,
Josh Allen would sack Dalton, like, 7 times in the game.
I was texting with Will Brinson from CBS Sports earlier, and, like, Will always, like, on, like, with a couple other people and, like, go over, like, who's, like, the Millie Maker quarterback this week. And, like, we're always, like, mining for value, right? Like, shitty quarterback with a wide receiver that we think could have a good week to try and exploit, like, the algorithm and win the Millie. And I was, like, it's Drew Lock this week, and maybe it's with Fant or whatever. And, like, we're just shooting the shit. I may not play Drew Lock in a Millie Maker lineup. And he was, like, Kyle Allen and Terry McLaurin. And I was, like, wow, you might be right. And I'm not even kidding. Against this Dallas defense.
I mean, of course. Well, I mean, Dallas has allowed a billion yards per play to everyone. Like, Arizona was able to, like, casually move the ball up and down the field with just, like, slightly different running plays. Like, it was like, all right, Kyler left, we'll get 15 on that. All right, Drake to the right, we'll get, like, 9 on that. Like, okay, all right, fine, I have to throw the ball. No, that didn't go great. It's okay, we'll just get a first down anyway. I mean, it was just, like, kind of whatever. So, I mean, okay, Jacksonville, you say you bet Jacksonville in the game. I mean, then we get to the next set of teams where Dallas, I don't think, is ever a favorite. So, well, that's not true. Cincy is the next team. The Dalton rematch.
Cincy would score 40 points in that game.
And we brought up that game's coming. I think I said like week 13 for that game, and I can look it up real quick. Dallas plays Cincinnati. The hell is it? Week 14 at Cincinnati, that game. So the Dalton homecoming game against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. So again, we'll see what the number is in that game. I think that'll be kind of interesting. Then you get into like Atlanta, Philly, like these teams where it's like no, like never.
Maybe it's worth saying this. Like maybe Zach Martin comes back, and he will come back, right? He's got a concussion, God willing, like he doesn't get another one and he's able to play. Zach Martin comes back, the backup left tackle McKnight, I believe. Moonlight's as an R&B singer as well. He comes back, or maybe it's just Knight. Whatever. He's fucking terrible. It doesn't fucking make a difference.
They're starting back at what? Let's put it.
Good line. Van Der Esch is playing all the snaps. Sean Lee will be back at some point, and he's like not what he was, but he's like a quote-unquote field general. Awuzie comes back. So, like, there are reinforcements on the way. So, like, maybe, like, I don't want to make this, like, this is definitely going to be the case, that they're going to be this bad the entire season. But when we're looking at it through the prism of just this one game, like, I can't get past the, like, how is Dallas going to protect Andy Dalton in this game? Like, I kind of can't get past that. So, I don't know. I may just pass on the game to your point with what you were saying.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to pass to two other things very quickly worth considering. We can do another couple questions afterwards. I mentioned this already to Evan. Teams that turn the ball over a ton the previous game, turnover margin very high, tend to be viewed as unlucky and therefore worthy of a bet the next week. Those teams historically, especially this time of year, October, November, the kind of the guts of the NFL season, a terrible bet historically. And, you know, I think it's like 33% against the spread, something like that. Turnover margin, like, you know, -3 or worse, and then play the next week. Like, you always get the benefit of the doubt and you don't deserve it and you rarely play well. It's funny, like, turnovers, you know, it seems possible. And with Dallas, this is a good example. You know, are they predictive of future disappointment? Team that turns the ball over a lot? Are they going to suck that year, even though we view turnovers as kind of a luck-based thing? That would be one thing on Dallas. Other thing worth considering, with my numbers and my projections, when I start close to what the number is in the market, the opener, and then there is movement like dead the opposite direction significantly, those games, like, so it would tell me like, oh, like there's value here now on Dallas now that we're down to like a pick or Washington -1, like versus my number. There's so much value here. When we move like steam wise away from my number like that, those games are like death to bet on. They're always injury games. It's always like the injuries actually somehow end up being undervalued in the game. Like it's just, even though my numbers are now like, oh, you should bet Dallas now. Like that's a good idea. That strong movement away from my projection in the market, it always signals that, like, to be honest, that, like, that's the correct side in the game. And that would be
Washington. I'll tell you, man, I would never, I think I'm ready to make the statement. I don't know if I'm ready to say I'm going to bet Washington, but I think I am ready to say that I would never bet Dallas in this spot. Like, it's Washington or pass for me, I think. Okay.
I am not betting Dallas in the game. I will guarantee you I am not betting Dallas.
Same. Okay. I got three others I'd like to hit here in the next, like, 10 minutes or so.
Let's do it.
So I know, because we did the segment on Monday, and if anyone, I guess you could still listen to it because these numbers haven't really moved too much yet. At least two of them haven't. That's the Jaguars Chargers. One of the games that Ken talked about on Monday was the Panthers plus 7.5 on the road in New Orleans. So, like, I know you like Carolina already, plus the 7.5. So my question does not revolve around the spread. My question revolves around the total. I just want to get exactly what it is now, just to make sure we give the updated information. The total in this game is currently 51. I really like the over. I feel like the Saints are going to be able, with Michael Thomas back, this Carolina defense is down players, as we discussed last week, Gross Matos, Kawan Short. We'll kind of see how the injury report shakes out for some of these other players that have been banged up over the course of the season for the Carolina Panthers. Saints coming off the bye. I kind of feel like the Saints are going to put a number up on them. But I also kind of feel like with the maybe this, and this is my question, so it's like I'm kind of like hemming and hawing here. The point of this is to ask you the question of how you think this is going to shake out. I kind of think the Saints defense is not good. Now, maybe like Dennis Allen and company like took the bye and they figured it out, but like they haven't played well this year. They're giving up a ton of points, man. And like I kind of look at like DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and even with no McCaffrey, even though it's Mike Davis, I kind of think this is a bounce back spot for the Carolina offense that looked bad last week. But I think like we acknowledge, right, that like the Bears are a really good defense and probably were actually underrated coming into the season and may actually still be underrated today, despite the 5-1 mark to start the season. I kind of really like the over in this game, Ken. What's your expectation for the Saints defense in this game? And what do you make the total Carolina and New Orleans?
My total projection in Carolina, New Orleans is 51.5. So it means I don't hate the number. If you want to bet the over, like you're at least getting, you know, fair value or maybe a tiny, tiny value on the over. My numbers, I think, are pretty tight by the time we get to this point in the season. Second thing, you referenced Chicago very briefly. I'll just tell you, they're kind of like on my short list of teams I'm kind of monitoring as like the physical defenses where teams, you know, what happens the week after you play Chicago. They're kind of like on that short list to follow, especially as we start getting into November and playing those teams matters a lot with Pittsburgh. I mentioned that earlier. They're kind of on that list because I do think they might be that type of defense. I think you're right about that. One thing this is not the bucket of cold water segment. What I would say is yards per play allowed. So league average, I think, is something like 5.8, 5.9 this year, basically. Like that's kind of the average yards per play allowed in a game. Carolina has been surprising and basically under that number against every single opponent. So they've allowed exactly the average. They allowed that to Tampa Bay. They allowed a little bit more than that to Vegas. Last 3 weeks, though, again, Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago. So again, like, you know, not the Saints, and not even, you know, not Green Bay and not these kind of teams, not Kansas City. But like 4.8 yards per play allowed to the Cardinals. And I think you came out of that game loving Carolina's defense in that game. 5.8 to Atlanta, who's like a good offense, who has put up a lot of yards and a lot of points on a lot of teams, even though they have lost a lot of games. 5.8, a slightly under the league average in yards per play. And then 4.1 yards per play allowed to Chicago. And I know we hate Chicago's offense, but like that doesn't mean they don't score on people. And that you still have to show up and play defense to win the game, obviously. So like last 3 weeks, like three pretty, I mean, below NFL average defensive efforts for Carolina. Like, I don't know if it's like a sure thing with the Saints unable to throw the ball downfield whatsoever, that this isn't, you know, like, not a low scoring game, but like, you know,
are you taking the Panthers on the money line? Are you taking Carolina? Because it sounds like you should take Carolina to win the game if that's how you feel. Yeah,
I have it written down as like a potential money line with like I might do some like fun parlays. I have a couple. I have some some dogs. Spoiler alert: a team I mentioned that I just mentioned is having a very physical defense might also be taking their money line with Carolina potentially in a parlay as part of our Friday selection.
I told you on Monday I kind of like the Bears, so I'm probably with you on that. The Monday night game.
Who are we looking for, right? The home favorites that are maybe a little too big, right? This time of year, that's like the tried and true thing. You bet against those teams, you are right way more often than you are wrong. I think the Saints are one of those teams.
All right, so that's something to think about with the Saints Carolina. Again, we're doing this on Wednesday, so like I'm big on the injury report, so there's still a lot of information to be gleaned here. That is not a bet that I have put in, but it's something that I'm monitoring here. I would not bet the under. I think I would only bet the over, or I would pass the game New Orleans and Carolina. I did bet Carolina plus 7.5 along with Ken on Monday. Two more games I want to hit with you, Ken. Packers-Texans, we talked about this game with Evan Silva earlier in the show on Wednesday. And you have said that you project this total in the 60s. It's at 57.5. How much money are we putting on the over in Packers and Texans?
I have a small bet on the opener, and I didn't think it was going to go up as much as it did, though. Like, that's wild movement to get close to 60 in an NFL game. Like, I thought there would be, like, some threshold where we just wouldn't see that anymore. Like, we opened
but Houston can't stop anybody.
I bet it at 56.5. Yeah, I didn't. The opener was 56. I didn't get to that. 56.5. We talked about this on Monday. I'm like, I've never made a game 60 before. I make this game 60. It's moving in my direction.
Can I ask a better question? Because, like, you like the over. You project this to be 60. Who do you like sidewise, if anything, in this game?
I like the Packers a pretty good amount. I don't know if I'm ever going to get the three back again, and I'm willing to wait just in case that's the case. Like, we still have 3.5, but there's a 3 -120. There's kind of like, so I think there's like enough uncertainty with where this number is going that, like, I think I might get like a 3 -115 or something with Green Bay. This was one of the two games we bet when we talked on Monday where I had a discrepancy pretty big in my ratings, right? So we bet on Detroit and that number's come down. We bet on Jacksonville. And I think that number is still at 7.5, but it was basically like between 7.5 and 8.
It's going to go up, I think. I think it's going to go up because the Chargers had a favorable injury report on Wednesday. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show on Thursday.
Sure. So there were two games that we bet on that I thought I had a favorable number on outside of a key number. This was the third game where I had kind of a large discrepancy, but I did not have a number that I liked to bet into, like 3.5, where it was possible we would get three back. My number in this game is 6. And I don't think that's crazy. Like, Houston is getting, I mean, they get very little credit in a lot of these games, and I don't have Tennessee rated that highly. So you can be like, well, wait a minute. Like, Houston was like field goal dog against a division team that's like supposed to be pretty good. Yeah, but like Tennessee wasn't getting a lot of credit in those games. Maybe I guess if everybody loves them against Pittsburgh, maybe I'm wrong about Tennessee, and that's where part of this discrepancy is coming from. But like, Packers get a ton of credit against everybody. They cover against everybody. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think this number should be a little bit higher. You also have a game with a ton of points in it, ton of touchdowns, ton of possessions. That decreases the value of key numbers. More likely to be missed extra points, more likely to be 2-point conversions. Now with the increase in like analytics for coaches too, like, I mean, forget about it. Like, you're going for 2 down 14 when you score a touchdown. Like, that upsets the key number dynamics in a game a lot. So like, if I don't get 3 back, I am going to bet the Packers. But like, I don't want to just say like, bet the Packers at 3.5. If I think a 3 might come back, I still think it's possible that like a 3 -115 Friday, Saturday, that like that might be in the cards here.
Here's what I know about this game, Packers and Texans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I know the Packers are going to go up and down the field on the Texans' non-existent defense. Like, I know that. I don't think that's even up for debate. Like, maybe it doesn't happen. But like, for the people that say it's not going to happen, you don't get to take a victory lap afterwards, because like, there's no reason to believe other than maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and the sky will be red. Well, you get no credit if it actually happens because you didn't know who the fuck. I mean, get the fuck out of here. The Packers should march up and down the field on them. Houston's defense is non-existent. It's a great bounce back spot. And like, I don't even like saying shit like that anymore, but it is the truth coming off like the humiliation against in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Like, is Houston going to go up and down the field on Green Bay? Maybe. I think that they can score some points here, but I think there's some doubt that Houston can score on the Packers defense the way that Green Bay can score on the Houston defense. So I like the Packers as well. I will also be waiting to get the 3 in that game. Final question. It's kind of debating whether I want to do Bills Jets at all now that Jamison Crowder missed practice today, but like, sure. I feel like you said it, like, we're never going to bet the Jets. So instead, let's spend a couple minutes on a game that we've already talked about a little bit this week. And I think that we're on the same side of, well, I know that we're on the same side because I know where you lean and I know where I lean on this game. Is there value? And I know the answer to this question, and like, faithful listeners will know it as well, for people that haven't been listening or for people that would like a little more context here. Is there value with the Arizona Cardinals getting 3.5 as a home underdog on Sunday against Russ and the Seahawks coming off their bye?
I think so. And this is a game I will just guarantee you, like, I will have a bet on Arizona in this game. I think I might have to put that in soon. Like, I don't, again, like, we're trying to, like, you know, where's the number going? And that's what everybody wants to know the answer to. Like, 3.5 minus 115 is still there. Like, this might have to be a bet that I put in really soon, actually. Because, again, like, usually the number is moving toward mine. My number in this game is Seattle by 1.5. I don't think we're going to go through the key number of 3 with Seattle off a bye. I think they're getting some additional credit for that, which they should. But more than a field goal in this game, like, very interesting. And this is an angle I brought up before in this game, where we have, when teams are defined by kind of like, you know, great units performance wise, again, just measuring it in terms of yards per play. One team has a great offense. The other has a great defense, just measured by yards per play. And they play each other. The defense is the one that ends up covering in that game, basically. So these tend to be pretty evenly matched teams. Maybe one team a field goal either way, home road. Okay, like, one team has a great offense. Clearly that would be Seattle in this game. They have an incredible offense. Arizona's yards per play numbers are very good. Now, some of that was aided by the Dallas game on Monday night that helped their numbers a lot. They allowed a very low yards per play in that game, but they, according to yards per play, they have a very, very good defense when measured by that statistic. So when you have, I think this is the last 5 years, I think, or something, when you have an elite offense playing an elite defense, those are the two units that kind of like define the game to a certain extent. The favorite in that game, which is Seattle, 36-62 against the spread, and that's just the last 5 years. So, like, again, like, kind of like each team is being, you know, their success to a certain extent. I think it is fair to say Arizona's defense is driving more of their success than we thought it would. And statistically, it's measured as very good, even if we don't know that that's true yet. And Seattle's offense, there's no question. It's elite. Any statistic we use to measure, Seattle's offense is very good. So just, again, that has been an angle that has been valuable. It's been valuable this year. I mean, it was one of the reasons, one of the many, many reasons why I really liked Chicago against Carolina on Sunday. This angle played into that situation. So, I think we have another one of those situations. We're over the key number of 3. I also have a number that is less than that. So all these things kind of together, I think, create a valuable bet on Arizona at 3.5. Even if you pay 5 cents more, there's still 3.5. 115's like, I think that is a good idea to bet that soon. When is entirely a risk thing that is up to you. Maybe it goes up, maybe it goes down. We're never really going to know without an injury report. But I do like the Cardinals in the game a lot.
All right. And I think I like the Cardinals as well in the game. Big pick segment coming up, of course, for us on Friday. Power Hour on Thursday with our picks for the Giants and Eagles. Or if you're listening to this in podcast form, it would mean that you are listening to this on Thursday, which would mean the Power Hour is coming up today. Good stuff in the Q&A with our guy Ken Barkley.